How do I cope with waiting for results?
It's all I can think about. Is the cancer going to come back?
I can't sleep. How do I stop worrying?
We know what goes through your head when you're living with cancer. The questions, the anxieties. We understand because we've been there too. If you or someone you care about has been diagnosed with cancer, Macmillan Cancer Support's online community can help from day one. It's a free, safe online forum for people with cancer to connect anonymously. No question is too big or too small. With over 80,000 members, we get it. We've been there. Whatever you need to ask, we're here. To join, search Macmillan Online Community.
Hello and welcome to Watch for Crappins, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker. Joining me today is the wonderful and hilarious Ronnie Karam. Hey, Ronnie, how's it going?
Hi, what's going on with you, baby?
Not much. This is part two of our big crossover episode with two T's in a pod. The first half was on their feed. So go, of course, check that out. With the podcast with Tamara Judge and Teddy Mellencamp. And now here comes part two. If this is your first time listening to us because you only found us through Tamara and Teddy. Well, first of all, welcome. Hi. Welcome to our show. We cover lots of Bravo stuff. We cover other stuff outside of Bravo. So we cover really every Bravo show. We're also covering Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. We just wrapped Chimp Crazy. We've even done Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon. We have Love Island coverage on our Patreon. And in fact, Patreon is where you can find our video versions of all our episodes. So go to patreon.com/watchforcrappins to listen to that. We also have weekly bonus episodes there too, which are really fun. This week, we're going to be doing a trailer breakdown. We like to call it a trailer trash. The Real Housewives of Potomac trailer that launched last week. So there's a lot to check out. So welcome new people and welcome people who've been here all along.
Enjoy the show. So here we are with Tamara and Teddy, continuing from the Two T's in a Pod podcast. Thank you guys so much for coming on. Thanks you so much for having us on your show.
Yes, and thanks for having us on your show.
I know.
We appreciate it.
It's a crossover we never really thought would happen. We're like, we talk so much shit all the time. We just never thought.
Do you not think we're not used to it?
I know. Well, you know, the thing was this. What was so funny was I was like a little like, oh my goodness, like this might be awkward. And then I was like, you know what? There's absolutely nothing that we've said that could be anything worse than their castmates have ever said to them. You know,
or that we've said about our castmates, right?
I just have to remember that.
Like, okay, it's the nature of the show, right? We respect you and what you do, and you do a great job. And yeah, you trash us, but hey.
Just don't listen. You know, that's our request. So we went on your show, and I have to say, your show is so professional, and you guys have like segments and ideas. We don't do that. We just like kind of sit here and shoot the shit. So we don't have much, but we can put you on trial. You want to do that?
Yeah, sure.
Orange County trial.
Who wants to go first? Who's the first case on the docket?
Let's do Tamara because we were saving our Orange County questions, et cetera, for our show. So
okay.
What were the, we have pressing Orange County questions. Now, what were they? I don't remember.
You don't have a rundown like on twats?
Okay.
Right. So we talked about the Radio Andy thing on your show. So we don't need to relitigate that. So what's going through your head at the beginning of this season with this whole Alexis thing? Because from an audience standpoint, this is completely backfired on you. And it looks like from just our point of view, watching you outside of the show, they are kind of trying to tap dance to fix whatever is going on the show. Did you think that this was going to be a big win? Like what was your thinking coming into the season with
Alexis? I didn't think it was going to be a win. I'm just literally filming my real life. And Alexis and I made up at BravoCon. We had a very deep conversation, a meaningful conversation about the lawsuit that I was in with her ex, about her mother passing away, about what happened between her and her fiance. And we kept in touch. And I've known Alexis for I don't know, 16 years or something like that. Hasn't always been good, no. But so we just kind of moved forward with that in a new relationship, new friendship. And I had no idea she was being cast for the show. She did not tell me.
Or that she was with John.
Or that, well, no, that didn't happen right away. That happened like months later, like a month later that they met. So I just kept this, you know, really friendship going with her. And then she told me, hey, they reached out to me about being on the show. I don't know if I want to go on it. Honestly, with everything, with this is after she admitted that she was dating John, because I was sticking up for her. I'm like, she's dating John. They ran into each other, a Quiet Woman. They took a picture together. They were two separate friend groups. Who cares? And I kept.
So she, like, she wasn't brought back on the show because she was dating John?
No, no. And really? That is a lie, a bold face lie. So she was, they were talking to her way back at BravoCon days. So then she started dating John, and well, friends first, according to her. And then I was defending her on the podcast when I got a text message that said, hey, can you call me? And I go, sure. So she called, I called, and she said, listen, it's crossed over. I'm now dating John. And my jaw dropped. Holy shit. Are you serious?
And not to step in, but Andy did confirm, just to show that Tam's not a liar here, Andy confirmed that they asked her prior to finding out about John. So, and
I don't know that Andy's the best witness, because Andy will lie his ass off too. He'll be like, guess what? It's the best season of Dubai.
Oh, he does do that. He
like
does do that.
Season one of Dubai. It's like, what are you talking about? Like the COVID season of OC. It's like, wait until you see what happens.
Good.
I have a question. When Alexis told you that she was dating John, were you in good standing with Shannon at that point? Or had you guys already had your falling out?
We've already had a falling out, because in November I had text Shannon when it went public, and her and I were not on good standing, not because of me, but because of her. And I wrote her a text message saying, I just heard the news. I am so sorry. This cannot be easy for you. It was during the holiday season. Right. It was like right before Thanksgiving. And I said, I really hope that you and the girls are able to enjoy the holiday season, you know, whatever. And she said, thank you very much back to me. Now, what happened between me and Shannon has nothing to do with my friendship with Alexis at all. And when I got back, like, I wasn't the one rallying to get Alexis back on the show. It was Heather Dubrow.
Oh.
But because it was Heather Dubrow that wanted her back on the show. So when she came back on, you know, I was talking to her like every other cast member was talking to her, but they literally put us together as a team, which at the end of the day makes me look like I turned my back on Shannon to just be friends with Alexis, which is 100%.
Because it looked like you were fighting with Shannon, so you helped get Alexis back on.
That's what
Alexis
looks like,
dated John to screw over, you know, to get a storyline for the show. So all that's just a coincidence that Alexis.
It's a lie,
and John
lie.
And how do you feel about like Alexis? It's, you know, people are really not happy with Alexis because it just seems like Shannon is like a victim. And
the victim.
Alexis is, ruthless, though. So do you
explain to me how she's a victim.
Because you're showing up everywhere yelling at her, she's an alcoholic, this and that. Like, look, first
I did that one
time. If she is an alcoholic, if she is an alcoholic, you can't yell at your alcoholic friend that she's an alcoholic in public.
This is not a typical situation. We're on a reality show. So don't know. And for 2 months after her DUI, I was in Scotland for 3 weeks or something like that. I found out the day that I was leaving for Scotland that she got arrested. I was on the phone with her the day before after she got out of jail and didn't even tell me that she went to jail the night before. So it hit the news. I was on the podcast. She said, can you please call me? And I'm like, yes. So I called her and I said, oh my God, Shannon, I feel horrible. I am leaving to go to Scotland today. I'm going to be gone. I won't have my phone. I just, me and her went back and forth. I was crying on the phone with her. I'm so sorry. But I said, listen, this is a wake up call. You have a drinking problem. Nobody got hurt. It's a wake up call. You need to get help. And it was something that I've been wanting to say for years.
Well, I think if that was the conversation on the show, that probably would have gone over a lot better.
Well, but the thing is, I talked about it on the show. They didn't show it. They did not show it. They're not helping me out any by any means. I had this conversation with one of the other girls.
The editors of Orange County aren't helping out a housewife. That is crazy.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, but the thing is, if I did something wrong, I'm actually, I wouldn't even call it tough love. I have to protect myself at this point. Nobody knows, and I'm not even going to expose what I have gone through in the past 10 years with this woman. And I really thought this was the time that she was going to get help. But she continued to drink and going on podcasts and saying, I'm not drinking, going to BravoCon, me by her side, saying these two girls, Vicky and Tamara, the ones that have been there for me, I have not had a drink. All the while, she was calling me drunk at night.
So, but and I'm like, I guess my question is this, though. So, like, her drinking, like, yes, there's definitely gray areas going on with her drinking. You know, there you could say, like, well, maybe it's, like, up for her to realize when she has to, like, you know, figure out when she has to go to rehab, yada, yada. But in terms of Alexis, though, like,
those two don't have one. Those don't go together.
Right.
And that's where I'm getting the shit edits, because those two do not go together. My issues with Shannon and my 10 years with Shannon in dealing with her drinking is a totally different avenue than my friendship with Alexis. I'm not here to advocate for John Jansen. That's not my job.
But I guess it's more like Alexis is going or is being perceived on the show as going so hard on Shannon. And Shannon is clearly like whether she admits it or not, she is like in a bad place. And it just seems like
she's been in a bad place for 10 years.
I know, but it seems like Alexis should
just be like, at what point do you take responsibility and change your own life?
Well, hey, but that's
the, how
but
dare also, you? She came out with that salmon company that she stuffed with cream cheese that time.
Yeah,
she had those lemon shots.
But doesn't it feel like Alexis is winning right now? She got the guy. She's in a happy place.
She's
like,
not winning. Look what she's
won.
She's
winning.
She won Bizarre World.
Bond's not my prize. But, you know, I'm just saying, like, why? It just feels like Alexis should just move on from Shannon, because Shannon is...
Well, he wore the Ferragamos when he proposed.
That was hilarious. I just saw
but
that.
But evidently, she didn't buy those.
She didn't?
She didn't buy those. No.
He has multiple pairs of those Ferragamos? Even worse.
She bought him Ferragamo tennis shoes. Not tennis shoes, is what she, I was told.
Oh, God. I love that you know this.
I got cut out. I think that this week you'll see a switch in Alexis. And, you know, I hate to blame things on editing, but she talked to me a lot about her mother passing. I had a lot of conversations with her that scene at her house. Her eyes were all puffy. We had an hour conversation about her mom passing and what happened. And they didn't show any of it. Mm. All they showed was the two sentences we said about John with her puffy eyes, or about Shannon, or whatever it was. So there's a lot of stuff that's not being seen about her. And she's going to be on Watch What Happens Live this week. And she's like, I don't even know if I should go. Like, I'm so hated. Like, I should just walk away. Like,
that's a rite of ritual to be hated this much, right? Like, it's
not this much. This is overboard. This is overboard. Yeah. I've never seen hate like this before, ever.
I have.
Teddy's like, hello.
Yeah.
Teddy, Teflon Teddy. I mean,
let's be honest. The way that they brought her back after 10 years, there was no like nice music or her like, you know, there's no entrance. It was her walking out of her car while Heather was saying something. I don't want my son to date a hoe. And then Alexis walks out of the car as a hoe. Then Alexis walks into the Balboa Bay Club for the first event. And the next thing it is, Gina snags my pantyhose, which I don't even wear pantyhose usually. And she goes, you want me to get you some hose, you hoe? And again, they have her walking in.
Yeah, but
I'm like, that somebody there is fucking with her.
There's the door, Shambador. So she came in hot. She came in hot.
She came in hot. She came in hot.
Let's be honest. Let's be honest.
She planned out that line. I am sorry.
I can't cry for Alexis today. I'm sorry.
But let's be honest.
I'll buy lots of bridges, but not that one.
Do you really, really, really think that Shannon Bedore was worried about the money she lost in a lawsuit from Alexis's ex-husband?
I have children.
I lost $500,000. Do you see me? Nope. I'm just moving forward, making more money. Do you really think that's why she's mad at Alexis?
I think it could be all of the above, to be honest. I mean, I would mean be
she's
mad
about John, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, of course, like, but she chose to make it about the money because she doesn't want to fight over some man at some event. She knows what they're trying to do.
Okay, I mean, you're not being honest.
With all the editing, well, I mean, who's always completely honest? You have to shade your story when you tell it. We all color a story when we tell it, and she knows how they're trying to color it with her. They're trying to bring this girl on who has her man, and they're trying to pit each other against each other, and she's like, this is trash. I'm going to show up and I'm going to do the classy thing and not fight over some fucking dirtbag and make it about the other ways this lady fucked me over. Like, what'd you say? Something about a trampoline park? I mean, Jesus Christ, you know, that was way overkill. And so I don't blame her for not wanting to fight about John Jansen. I thought she actually handled that classy. And that's why Alexis is really getting slaughtered, because Shannon's kind of outplaying her on this. I mean, Shannon walks around all neurotic.
Shannon's in practice. Smart and extremely calculated. And her superpower is playing victim. She's been doing it for 10 years.
Well, everything. In this case, like, she's
winning.
Well, yep. In this case, she's playing
victim to John. I think she's definitely a victim to John. I mean, yeah, like that, the whole thing, like John's going to get that money back. That seems wild. Unless there's more to the story.
What if you heard there was a promissory note? What if you heard there was conversations going back and forth that it was a loan? Would you change your mind then?
If there was a loan,
probably, I guess. Yeah. If there was like paperwork, well, and she said, then she would.
Okay. Well, let me just riddle you this.
Riddle us.
Stay tuned. Stay tuned.
I have to say, though, by the way,
I would also counter with what about all the money she did spend on him? How much did she spend? Where are the receipts for that? Like,
where are they? Because her story keeps changing.
Fargo or whatever, and get a list.
Yeah. Well, now, but her story's changing. Before it was, I paid for everything for 2 years. Then it's like, oh, I paid for a few things. So
Tamara, does this mean, like, you and Shannon have had like a million falling outs and then you get back together? Yeah. Is this like the end? Because like we're kind of as audience members, we're sort of like, okay, they're in a fight, but probably next year, Trace and Migos will be back. Or do you feel like this is like a true, like, is there coming back from this?
Who knows, but right now I don't have any intentions of being friends with her. You guys don't even know how toxic it was, and everything that I would do is a one-sided friendship, constant. My kids, my husband would be like, please, babe, don't pick up the phone again. Don't pick up the phone. She would call nonstop. Here I am trying to help her, even borderlining enabling her. And then I find out that she's calling somebody I know and saying horrible fucking things about me. Horrible, when all I'm doing is trying to help her. And so at what point do you go, doing this anymore? I am not doing this. I am here to help you. And you're going to talk behind my back? Not show shit. This is off show, no cameras, talking to somebody very close to me and saying nasty, nasty stuff.
Yeah.
But that's what she does. She gets drunk. She calls people and says horrible things. So
I prefer to just get drunk and cause problems in my own life and my own home and not call other people and tell them about it.
Teddy, what is your feeling on this? Like, as you being that you are the work wife of Tamara, when Tamara, like, when the Trace Amigas come back together, are you just kind of like, oh God, here we go again? Like, or are you just like, listen, I'm happy that they've squashed their beef.
Whatever way that Tamara can succeed is a win for me. Like, I love Tamara. I care about her. I mean,
you know what I went through with that woman.
Right. But I mean, I wouldn't be allowed to attend anyhow, even if they do come together, because I've already been banned. But like, I truly want what's best for Tamara. Do I think that those three have like a toxic pattern together? Of course. Do I know Tamara's heart at this point? Like, I don't think that Tamara's a liar. I think that Tamara's delivery sometimes can be curt, but at the end of the day, I know I could call Tamara for anything, and she would be there, and she would be my friend, and she wouldn't judge me. So I just think it honestly looks like people that are just tired of each other and tired of each other's shit.
Yeah, I was tired of the cycle. Yeah. Okay, let's move on to Teddy.
Oh, no. We can stay on Tam.
So, Teddy, I guess my main thing for you was, what is your status all this time later? I mean, your life has obviously changed a lot since you do this. You guys have a huge show. Do you think it's helped your, like, villainy status or has it hurt, or how do you feel about that? Because I noticed that you make like a lot of self-deprecating comments, which I really like. You know, I like that kind of humor.
Well, I appreciate that you realize that it's happening, because most people are like, oh, don't say that about yourself. And that's what I didn't like about Beverly Hills. I would say that shit and then people would be like, oh, Teddy. And I was like, I'm being self-deprecating. I don't actually feel that poorly about myself. I have a decent version of who I am, and I know when I'm an asshole, and I know when I'm okay, and the people in my life that matter.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Hey, it's Guy Raz here, and you might know me as the host of How I Built This. Well, did you know about my other show, The Great Creators? It's where I interview some of the most celebrated actors and musicians of our time about their life, their craft, and where they find their ideas. You'll hear giants like Tom Hanks.
Very rarely do I have a conversation, quite frankly, like this one guy.
Jason Sudeikis talked about how he became Ted Lasso.
People will say to us, you know, the show saved me. I will say back, me too.
Plus, musicians like Ellie Goulding, Bjork, and Lainey Wilson.
I remember having that crazy feeling of, I am going to do this. I'm going to be on that stage.
You can check out our newest season and browse our whole catalog, 80-plus episodes, by following The Great Creators on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Great Creators early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
How do you get so strong to stand kind of against the onslaught? Do you just consider it normal? Because maybe it
money.
Is. I mean, I have no idea. Money.
Money.
Money helps.
It helps.
Money.
Do you have any regrets from the Vanderpump season with the Lucy Lucy apple juice stuff? Do you have any regrets?
Oh, my gosh. The juicy. I would say my only regret would be saying I've never told a lie. I learned now that I've like watched all of these seasons of Housewives, and I feel like you can never speak in absolutes.
Yeah.
So I regret that statement. I wish I would have been like, I'm not lying at this moment, but I've never told
I'm not
a lie.
Lying.
It's like when people say, like, I swear on my kid's life. I'm like, you're lying.
You can't do
you
know,
they're always lying. They're always lying.
They're always lying.
Kids are off limits, guys.
And then, or I've never told a lie. So that was a regret. Also, you know, in hindsight, I really went out on a limb to protect Dorit because of
the thing.
You know, like I really went there for her, where now later in our friendship, I realized she probably would never go there for me. So why did I do that?
Well, speaking of the Fox Force, et cetera, you know, a lot of audience members don't like the Fox Force because there's the sense is that everyone is covering for each other and people are just sort of like, you know, they like to, like Ronnie said earlier, throw a lot of stones. But then like when the heat is on them, it's like, what, us? Who, what? Do you feel like that's an accurate assessment of that group, or and is that something or not? And did you feel like when you were, do you have a different opinion of that group from when you were on the show versus after the show, or has it remained consistent?
Well, I think what made things a little bit tricky, and I get that Rinna is an actress as well, but we had been doing the show, you know, for a couple of years together, where we all were just kind of, at this point, Rinna wasn't actively acting and whatever. And then all of a sudden we bring in Garcelle, we bring in Denise, and like they're asking where craft services are and when we take breaks and like all of these types of things. You know, and it's like,
I'm gonna start doing that.
You know, like,
me too.
Hold on, where's our craft services? Like, oh, do we have that? No, I'm like, you pack your fucking snacks in your purse and you go for it. Like, this is, there's no breaks here.
What the hell? All we do is go to lunch on these shows.
All we're doing is always good. But they're like, no, we don't want to chew on camera, because I'm like, listen, actresses, reel it in. Like, this is the way we go. And so I think that's when you've been on the show and you put in the hard work and then somebody comes in and they feel like they're trying to puff their chest at you, you're like, we don't really care. We're all here to get our job done and have fun or cause shit or whatever it is that we are. So I think that's where you see us kind of connecting in a way that didn't fully translate. Plus, we were the only ones in Provence. There was the fires. Camille couldn't come. Vanderpump right. wouldn't show up. Denise wasn't, you know, like all, there was so many.
One. That Provence trip. Oh my God.
That yeah. Provence trip. I mean, that was my best episode though. If I would have known getting drunk would have made my best episode, I would have gotten hammered every single time.
Yeah. The lessons well, that we learned.
I mean, I guess the allegations from that season against you would be, first, in the reunion, you kind of had to admit that Vanderpump never told you to do any of that, that you were kind of talking to John, and you just assumed that Vanderpump wanted
I actually
you to do
never
it.
Admitted that. I said I was on multiple conference calls with Vanderpump included.
Oh, I thought you said in the reunion when he finally got you, and you that was the whole I never lie thing, and they were like, well, did she or did she not ask you to do it? And you said, no, she didn't ask me to do it. I just assumed she would want me to.
No, if I did say a version of that, it was via a text message, but I said I was on a conference call with John Sessa, John, what was the other John's last name?
Lizard.
John.
Lizard.
Teddy, this is history.
I'm sorry, I blacked it out. John Sessa, John Blizzard, and Lisa Vanderpump.
Oh, I'm sorry, before. Dr. John Sessa.
Dr. John Sessa, who, granted, let's point out Lisa Vanderpump has had falling outs with both of them since this time.
Really? So I actually didn't know that.
Well,
Little Blizzard and Sessa?
No, I mean, they went on for quite a long time, but yes.
Well, I'm sure it wasn't her fault. Because Lisa Vanderpump's perfect.
Darling, it's
she could do no wrong.
Never did I ask Teddy and Kyle to come watch their dogs there, but not bring their dogs.
I only care about the dogs in China.
Yeah, I mean...
So I guess the other half of that allegation would be that you kind of made that turn to be friends with the popular group or whatever and kind of like do the bidding for Kyle basically and Kyle's friends. What do you say about that? What was with the ultimate switch that season? Because you really did switch pretty quickly. It looked like when you did that thing at Vanderpump grooming or whatever, was it Vanderpump dogs that you guys showed up at?
Yeah.
And she kept saying, no, I don't want to talk about the Dorit and the Lucy situation. And then you guys, Kyle was mostly kind of forcing her to talk about it. And then she said, but my brother just passed away. And Kyle's like, we've all got stuff going on. And then that conversation kept going. I mean, it looked like Vanderpump was trying to keep it off camera, and then when she
but of course she was looking
camera,
like
you flipped it.
Of course she was looking like she wanted off camera, and that's when I did the switch, when I realized I've walked myself into the lion's den and she is pretending right now that she doesn't want this on camera, when I have spoken to her and I've
some
been
good acting
coached by her nightly every mm-hmm. single time I filmed the season before. Like I watched that and she wanted me to do it. That's when I was like, fuck you, I'm done doing it. And that's where I made the switch. And yeah, granted, did it end up screwing me in the long run? For sure. I should have handled it differently. I have regrets. I should have at that moment been like, hey, Lisa, you wanted me to come today to talk about Dorit's dog. Talk about it. I didn't have the balls to do it then. Now I would, like, I just wasn't really in that place. But it wasn't necessarily switching to the popular group. It was more switching because I was sick of being coached by somebody and then feeling kind of yucky at the end of it.
Okay.
Was it something that you guys were all talking about? Like, oh God, Lisa Vanderpump, she's always freaking calling us at night trying to make.
She didn't call everybody. She'd only call the newbies.
Mm. But did she call drunk?
Well, no,
Zemra.
But you could almost smell the Chardonnay and Sigs. You could almost smell them.
I mean, I don't know. When Erica said that, she made some comment like, oh my God, that woman smells like Chardonnay and cigarettes. She said something like that. I just remember thinking, that sounds like a good time to me. I mean, that's like a candle. It's like, if that was a candle scent, it would be good friend scent. You know,
I mean, here's the thing. Lisa Vanderpump could be a very good time. And there were times that I really had fun with her, but there were times where I was like, I understand that I am the youngest, the most naive, what was the Erica called me? You're not a fawn in the woods or whatever it may be, but like
babe in the woods.
Yeah, you're not, look at that. but I just kind of got to the point where I was like, I'm over your shit. Okay, and I'm not
well,
doing
thanks
it anymore.
For talking about that. I know that that's really old news, but you know, how often do you get a chance to ask that? So I had to ask that. Let's move on to some other stuff. Since you guys have started doing this, you've actually talked shit about so many housewives. So what is your biggest,
wait,
what are your
define,
biggest
problems? Define talking shit.
Well, look, I'm sure you guys are the same as us. We do a ton of Bravo talking, so I don't listen to a ton of shows. What you guys?
So you've never listened?
I've never listened to a whole one, but I watch clips of you guys all the time. You guys have great PR. Like, your team is really, really good. So cred to your team. I see you right here on the Zoom. Mm-hmm. Really good at taking your clips or whatever you're talking about and really getting them out there. And they're in all the blogs. And I mean, you guys do a really good job of that. So I do see a lot of your show and listen to a lot of your show. But it seems like you talk a lot of shit. Like, you don't seem to really hold back too much. So what has been your biggest drama with other Bravo people?
Oh, Jesus. Teresa.
Really? Teresa, why?
Teresa, because how do you watch Jersey and not comment on Louie?
Exactly. Yeah, you can't. And she does not like that.
She is not like that. And I love Teresa, but you know, we always say, like, we're watching the show as viewers. We have a little back history only because we've been housewives. And you're only as good as this week's episode. And if you're a total asshole in this week's episode, we're going to call you out.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Louie does a lot. There's a lot going on with that. Watching him, and there's a lot that can be said, and I do try to filter myself a little bit. I don't want to go over to that mean side, but if you say anything about him, she just really takes it personal and really gets upset.
Yeah,
and we're in a good place right now, but it could be different.
Yeah, she's like that. She was even like that with Joe. I mean, all the way up until she went to jail.
She defends her men very, except for the brother, you know, except for Joe Gorga. She'll defend her men like literally to the end.
People she's having sex with.
Just like
four times a day or five times a day, whatever it is. Gorga.
Yeah, we need to all stop talking about like banging five times a day. It's exhausting.
I'm exhausted.
Oh my God.
It's like so tiring and smelly, and like how many times do you like have to go clean off your wiener? Like, just stop.
Like, who wants to take that many half showers? Mine's definitely Victoria.
I have one of those.
Victoria and I.
It's pretty funny for us. What's been going on with that?
Oh God, the Vicky stuff.
Yeah, the Vicky stuff. Well, I guess that's just my biggest drama. But I mean, I never really had a problem with her. She just had such a hard time seeing Tamra succeed with somebody other than her
or succeed period.
And it just kind of grossed me out. Like, no matter how much I dislike somebody, like, yeah, I don't lead Lisa Vanderpump's fan club, but like, I recap her show. I don't want her not to do well. Like,
well, we ran into her after the MTV Awards, like, and you had a long conversation with her.
Oh, you did? Was it nice? It was a nice conversation?
I mean, we're not going to be friends the same way we weren't friends when I was on the show. Like, we don't run in the same circles.
Was she like, now tell Mary Hart what Dorit did with that dog?
No, she was like,
Mary Hart.
I don't appreciate what you did. And you know, it was fine. And I was like, you know,
good to you, Teddy.
I let you ride my pony in Santa Barbara.
I had Pandora carry your groceries in one day, Teddy.
Teddy's going to run off with Cedric one day.
Oh my God.
Cedric actually lives here, you guys. Cedric, come over.
He would. Fucking Cedric. We've said his name now three times. He will appear in your DMs and be like, do you want the truth?
He won't. He actually isn't. I feel like he's gone.
I
see Mohammed every single time I go to El Pastayo in Beverly Hills, but like, I never see Cedric. And he was on.
He probably can't afford it.
Yeah, I feel like Cedric is back in France somewhere. I feel like Lisa kicked him out of the country somehow.
Good place. Okay, so let's see. What should we ask? Ben,
I have a question. Like, well, you guys are, yes, you guys are podcasters, but you are housewives as well. And so you guys on your show were asking us about, you know, favorites, etc. And I would like to turn the tables on you guys and find out who are your favorite housewives and which housewives do you think are flops? By housewives, I mean like cast members, not franchises.
Okay. Like people on my cast that are flops?
Any franchise?
However you choose to interpret it. In fact, you can choose your cast and you can also choose someone from the greater, you know, extended universe.
Oh, man. That's a tough one.
You want to go first, Tam, or me?
No, go ahead. You just jump right into that, Ted.
I would say, I mean, my favorites are anybody that's going to stir the pot. So like prime years, I love Giselle on Potomac.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I loved her so much. I felt like this year was not a good year for Potomac.
Let's pretend it didn't happen.
Like, we're going to start fresh next year.
Yes.
For lifestyle, like Dr. Nicole. Okay. I'm okay to live her life.
There's a new rumor about her.
I know.
Is it true?
I heard that she's not coming back.
Why would they get rid of her?
I heard she's gone. No, I think it was her decision.
Come on. Wow. It's never anybody's decision. Heard.
She was in my dream last night. So I think that means this is true.
This is what I heard. I heard that she started filming and I don't know if this is true, started filming and then 2 weeks in, dropped out.
Wow.
I was like, hell no, I'm rich. I'm not doing this.
I've got yacht money. I don't just have private jets. Yacht money.
Yeah. Or maybe money's running out or something. Or maybe some scandal's about to hit. Doesn't it always feel like there should be a scandal around Anthony?
It feels like Anthony. We've said from the start there's got to be something fishy with Anthony. I mean, he's got the rumors about him are all those lawsuits, like filing lawsuit after lawsuit against people and all this. And now that's allegedly. Now I don't know. I'm just reading that that's the worst.
Be
housewife
careful.
Of
you'll
all
be
time.
Next.
The worst housewife, the bitchiest housewife of all time. Social media told me. But supposedly. I mean, he just seems like he's shady, you know? So I can't wait to see if something comes from that. But I do like her.
I hope she's not gone because I think she brings a lot to the show.
Yeah.
I think Miami's great.
Miami is top tier.
Miami, Salt Lake City, all the girls on Salt Lake City. I'm going to miss Monica. I'm not going to lie.
Monica to do a little less currently.
You know, I think you're right on that.
Are you not into the sharing TikToks?
Wait, what is she doing?
Like, loved her. We were the first to bring her on to Two Teas in a Pod. We gave her a place.
Is she being extra?
It's worse than us, Tam. It's worse than us.
What is she doing? I haven't seen anything. Shit. I'm going to have to go.
We seem relaxed and like we don't care about fame or money.
You know, Monica is sort of like, I feel like that reunion was her chance to get herself onto another season. And she just had such a simple path in front of her. Yeah. And she just wasn't able to do it. And I was like, wow, you really have messed this up. Like, you just had to do the whole, like,
oh my gosh.
And I felt like really bad about it. And then everyone would have been like, everyone deserves a second chance. But instead, she was just really combative. And that's not how you went.
I can't imagine all the hate that she was getting. And I think that that plays a part in your brain when you go down, you sit down at that reunion, and you've been beat up so bad. And I'm not defending her in any way, but I think that plays a lot into it as well.
While I say this, that Monica's doing a lot right now, I do still wish she was on the show or that she was at least on Secret Lives of Mormon Wives.
Yeah.
Like, I'm happy to see, I want,
oh, her on I haven't watched that yet.
That's great.
It's really good. And she does love doing the dancing TikToks, like you just pointed out.
So like, she's ready. And she's, I'm like, she has pretty hair. Like, she has all the things.
Yeah.
Say no more.
All the things. She's my problem. She's got such pretty hair.
Pretty hair.
No, to be on Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, like, I have 9 strands of hair. They're like, you're not in. You have no freaking hair.
Tamara, what were you going to say?
My problem with Bravo right now is I love Ramona. I love Luann. I love, old Dorinda.
Oh,
why
yeah.
don't they have a fucking show?
Yeah. I keep hitting my mic. I apologize to the audience, but I've been way on the record and then some saying how much I love the OG New York cast. Their chemistry is so special and like,
yes,
it's so wonderful. I would love to still see them on our TV in some way. I mean, Ramona really, that's a trouble spot. She really,
I mean, like we were saying earlier, Bravo learning their lessons. They just let things go too far. Sometimes they should have taken care of Ramona a long time ago. To have your first Black cast member come on that show at the historic time that she came on and just let Ramona run with what she was running with that whole season was
that's true.
Just forgive that. And a lot of it's like, well, she's from a different time. I've read all the things online, like, she's from a different time, it's a different way of looking at it. But just for the producers to be like, what's a great idea during this huge time of change with race relationsism in America, America is to sic Ramona Singer on the first black cast. I mean, that was just the dumbest thing that they've ever done.
It was dumb.
What about Ramona's daughter being at BravoCon after all of the shit went down? Like, she still had to hold down the fort.
Yeah. But they had a booth there.
With her little booth. I was like...
It was the BravoCon shit that I think is actually the nail in the coffin. Because, like...
Didn't something come out right before BravoCon?
Yes.
Can't remember what it was.
From New York Times.
There was an article that came out that she had said the N-word or something like that. Or maybe she had said the N-word, but she said something deeply insensitive. I forget.
It was like a voice note. But
then
something
she texted Paige Sick and said, whoa, I never said. And then she wrote, it just was, she didn't write
it yet. She wrote it out.
I said the N-word, but I didn't say the actual, and then she wrote out the word or
whatever. Oh, she wrote the first two letters. It was one of those things where it's like, Ramona, stop it.
I have to say this, guys, of all the years on Two Teas in a Pod, she's been my least favorite person we've ever interviewed.
I've never heard a good story about anyone.
She couldn't remember your name. She thought you were...
she thought I was... she kept calling me Tamra. She'd be like, Tamra, like we were the same human. Like, she'd be like, Tamra.
She thought you were Rick Springfield's daughter.
Yeah.
This is what's so hard with Ramona. It's like moments like that are so funny. And like, she's so compelling to watch because she just says things. You're like, how is this person living in a world? Like, how does she go out of her door and she interacts with people this way that's just so awful? So it's like this push and pull between like, oh, we really shouldn't give her a platform, but then at the same time it's like, oh, but like, kind of want to watch the train wreck.
She's such good TV.
Can I ask you guys a little bit of your thoughts on like the reality reckoning with Bethany?
We are becoming the same person, Teddy.
Yes.
Like, she is, between watching her spend, I also want to know, am I sick that I sat there and watched her spend like 8 minutes trying to get a toaster strudel out of the toaster oven and then judged her for it afterwards? Like, what is wrong with me? But also,
she's on to chicken salads now, isn't she?
Sick. I can't stop eating it. But it's amazing. Like, seriously, everybody out there needs to try this chicken salad.
And then the next day, I'm at the store that got the chicken salad. Nobody knows my name. Like, are you serious?
But guess what? There's a huge line around the corner. They better start fucking paying me. And then Chanel better reach.
No one said hi to me.
And pretty soon it's going to be like, I'm getting kicked out of the chicken salad place.
Yeah.
She has.
They won't let me in.
She has lost her mind. Honestly, she's become everything that she used to make fun of. I think the reality reckoning, I don't know. Like,
has that died down?
It seems like it's died down. I think.
Do you think she did Raquel dirty or Rachel?
Well, first off, it's not done yet. I mean, news came out this week that Leah's lawyers got permission to get evidence from Andy. Like, they get to do, I forgot what it was. We had it last night for Crappy Hour, but there was some movement from Leah's lawyers because, of course, Leah's part of it. Like, give me a break.
Yeah. Leah, enough.
I know.
Enough. Like, enough.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So some stuff is, and Brandy's still trying to go with her stuff. So I think it's just Lee and Brandy, but I think that Bethany is kind of backed off of it. I mean, she's already sicked the Raquel thing on. She's already sicked Raquel on, and that's still going constantly, which is like,
can you believe the other day I saw that Katie said from Vanderpump Rules that she didn't like my blouse. I have a guest on to talk about that. And then they just like sit there and talk about Raquel's feelings on Katie's Instagram. I mean, good Lord.
Yeah, I just think that Bethany, I think Bethany is like, her greatest skill is that she sees opportunities and she recognizes them right away and she goes after them and she exploits them and she finds success with it, which is like,
but is she making money on the toaster strudel or the chicken salad? That's what I want to understand, because like,
skinny toast. I think that like, she just was in this case, she saw that there was a crack that she could say, hey, wait a second. Reality reckoning, this could be a thing. I'm mad at Bravo. They didn't pick up my pitch or whatever. And she just went for it. And honestly, I think she just didn't get traction. I think when the bombshell is like, Bravo, it's making people drink. I think as the audience, we're like, yes, that's what we're tuning in for. Like, we co-signed this.
Find a group of girls that go out for happy hour and don't drink.
Yeah, it just felt... And then the big Vanity Fair article that came out, and I was
with Leah only. Thank you.
It was only New York cast members. And it was, again, just like, oh, they drink. I don't know. It felt so, I don't know. It felt like a grudge more than a real issue. I mean, again, you guys have been on the inside, so you guys have a greater context. But for us as viewers, I think we were just like not really.
Nobody ever made me drink or do shit that nobody from production or Bravo or anything made me drink or do anything that I wanted to do. What
about Drink, yeah,
they try. They try to stop me from drinking.
Listen, the year I was pregnant, I never was more sad than not being able to drink when I was doing the show. I was like,
fucking asshole, stop drinking.
And there's so many sobriety storylines on Bravo right now. So that also works against
Kind of a new up and coming thing. Everybody's
I think during COVID, everybody's drinking amped up.
And then they had to stop because everybody had a problem after COVID. Like, we had to go back out in the world and everybody had to stop drinking. Also, a lot of people are on Ozempic now and you can't really drink the same. I'm one of those. So maybe that.
What happens if you drink on Ozempic? Does it make you sick?
Your body just processes everything really slowly. It doesn't process calories the same way. So you don't really feel it the same. And then hours later, you'll just be exhausted. I can get drunk, but it takes a lot more and it just doesn't feel as good. It feels ickier. You get really full, really fat. It's just not.
Is there a drink of choice? And you don't crave it the same way. Like,
can you do like a THC drink?
You know what? I got Dana
CBD.
I was high and drunk for so long that I wasn't an alcoholic or a drug addict technically, but I just partook for so long that when I stopped, I was like, oh, wow, this is interesting. Like going out and having conversations and remembering them. So to me, that's kind of like my new, crazy. I'm going to go out and listen to people. It's crazy. That's
You're going to ask questions and listen to the responses?
So weird.
That's a weird concept.
No, thank you. I'm not really into drinking.
I feel like we never quite got around the flop part of the earlier question. You guys said who you guys really like, but do you guys have any people you feel like have been kind of flops on the Real Housewives?
Oh God. I mean, we've had quite a few on Orange County.
But
all we did was flop after flop after flop after flop. Oh, let's hire one back that was a flop the first time, Lydia. Like it was just,
I feel like Lydia had potential. I just feel like it just didn't quite work out. Like I really liked the way she
our current cast, she'd have potential. Slade,
you know, in season 8 or 9.
Yeah.
You know, I liked that a lot from her. No,
would you rather have sex with John or Slade, guys?
Slade. Yeah, 100%. I met Slade one time and he was like, oh man, when we created the Housewives, I was like, okay, Slade.
Yeah.
He's very,
I created The Bachelor.
Yeah, he is very like that. But I think that is a Housewives thing in general. I think a reality TV show thing, it grinds you down to the point where it turns you real. Like you finally become real doing it and unaware of everything and you just have to be yourself.
I think there's people that are made for reality TV and they just come in and they just say and do everything and not give a shit, and then you have other girls that take them 4 or 5 seasons to get the hang of it, and they finally get the hang of it.
I also think that's a Beverly Hills thing, because now that I not that it happened a bunch, but now that I filmed with Beverly Hills and Orange County, I felt a completely different vibe between the two shows.
Mm-hmm. You liked it better in the OC.
It was more fun to film OC than it ever was. I mean, and I only did one time on OC. It was way more fun to do.
Well, OC I feel like you fit in with Orange County a little bit better than Beverly Hills. I think we're a little scruffier over here compared.
Are you
to Beverly
calling
Hills.
Me scruffy?
Yes, I am.
Maybe you can take Heather's place when she goes to live next door to Drake.
Well, she can come on Beverly Hills.
You guys can do a swap. It'd be like Freaky Friday. I think that, like, I think Tamara, you're right. Like, you know, and Ronnie, like, you know, you get ground down and then you just are who you are on reality TV. But I've seen it also go the other way where actually some people, they become really famous and then they, once they have like a fame or a reputation, then they want to protect it. So then they just kind of. Then,
Erica's here, guys. Erica's here.
But you know, they don't all of a sudden they start.
She just pulled in, guys.
So I think we just got the direction, you know?
Yeah, I can. And I think what happens in that situation where you have somebody that comes off that's just authentic and they get beat down on social media and they start, you know, acting for the comment section on Instagram and then they change it, everything in who they are.
Social
media
become, really changed everything. I mean, it really changed everything.
It did. And that's the worst thing you can do, because people, they don't know. They want you fired. They want you hired. They wanted me fired. I got fired. Then they begged for me to come back. And now I'm back. And they want me fired again. Like,
yeah. And by the time you've adjusted for the audience, it's a year later that the audience is actually seeing anything and their minds have already changed. So you can't, you can never keep up with what we're thinking, you know?
And it's also, we just have to realize that. You can, that's the point of television. Like whether it's a scripted show or a reality television show, there's people that you like from day to day and it depends on your mood and it should be a fucking escape. That's what it is. Yeah. It's an escape from your actual life.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, we always say, like, watching you guys on TV, it is sort of like cartoons. It's like, you know, it's like a sport, you know, you just pick your favorites. And it's like, and sometimes once you pick your favorite, even if they are just being really shitty and totally in the wrong, you just say, yeah, but I chose them. And so I'm just going to stay by their side.
You know what? They're my like home them, team,
you know?
Yeah. Right, yeah. Well, but don't you feel like sometimes the teams change?
The teams do change.
Yeah, the teams always change, you know. Audiences are fickle. So are sports people, you know. Like, we'll change the color of our foam finger, but we're always wearing one. Guys, thank you so much for doing this. This was fun to talk to you. We're going to end this with a song I wrote a long time ago for Tamara called Hey Bitch.
And, oh, my God.
We'll play out with that. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
We had so much fun.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, this was fun. Go check out Two Teas in a Pod. Check out Teddy and Tamara on their own channels. And we'll see you guys next time. Bye.
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 Walk into the club, everybody say my name. Walk into the mall and same. Everywhere I go, people holler every day. I raise my hands up and holler back. Hey, bitch. Hey, bitch. Hey, bitch. If you don't know me, you're welcome to blow me, bitch. Hey, bitch. Hey, bitch. Every day's a parade, don't even try to shade. Magazines and blogs, Twitter, Facebook, and Insta. I rule them all, cause when I play, I win. The People magazine called and said, I'm the bitch. Asked me lots of questions, I answered everyone. Hey, bitch. Hey, bitch. Hey, bitch. Pretend not to love me, but don't think you're above me. Try to hate me, but life celebrates me.
Boy, bat, girl, bat, another boat.
Batch, batch, all around the world, even sharks.
Such a stretch.
Bat,
mommy,
bat,
daddy,
bat,
even baby.
Batch, batch, read the holy book. Even God saved a wretch. Batch.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.